From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Chad Beeter.
And I'm Jason Epperle.
Jason's back with us from 2 weeks ago, I guess. We kind of talked a little bit. It's still the same day for us, actually, just a little trade secret.
Yeah.
But we're going to talk a little bit more about WPA today, right?
Yeah, real-world sample of using these tools to solve a real problem.
Yeah, Trey Nash gave us a great demo last week of drilling in, and you've got another one.
I do have another one.
All right.
So let's just dig in. I got a real-world customer calls me up, giant environment, and they're having some subset of their machines do a black screen at boot. And this mysterious black screen at boot, it was a Windows 7 environment.
Sure.
And it was after they'd put in their creds, control, delete, entered everything, and they would get, sometimes they get stuck at a black screen.
Hmm.
And the first thing I hear, I was like, I don't know what a black screen at boot would be there.
Yeah.
And so it was a very interesting thing, because, I mean, we troubleshoot a lot of log-on hangs, and we're trying to figure out what's happening. Normally, in our mindset, we're thinking, I wonder what group policies are going on, but we've transitioned out of WinLogon, and I'm staring at blackness.
Sure, yeah.
So we went ahead and had a lot of the field guys collect us some XPerf data that was a logon analysis, and they brought it to us, and we started digging in, and that's what I want to bring up in front of us. So let's just dig in on it. So here's the Windows Performance Analysis tool, and we come in here, and we have these sections, they have the system activity, and when I troubleshoot a logon scenario, I immediately expand out the system activity and I can look at our boot phases.
Boot phases, sure.
So in this scenario, in my mind, just because I'm thinking about WinLogon, I'm thinking WinLogon, the guy who's in charge of logging you on, gives you a process called logon UI. Out of proc, so if we have some extensibility there, if something bad were to happen, we could, you know, handle that and then regenerate a new logon experience right then. So we have logon UI. We got past him because we fed our creds in. So logon UI should be out of town when logon should have been handling the user side of group policy. And then this goes back to the Windows internals discussion of, okay, so what happens after that? So we have this process, user init. Yep, he's in charge of all of our logon scripts, and that's almost his whole job. You're like, so do I run these scripts in block? Or do I run these scripts after I launch Explore? So that's usually the only decision he has to make, async versus synchronous logon scripts.
Okay.
So I'm thinking maybe we got stuck doing a logon script or whatever. So I'm thinking after WinLogon, but in the Explore phase.
Yeah.
So one of the things I learned in this case is if I go in here, we've got these phases, and it was key for me to go, well, the Explore phase isn't only Explore. Because user init, where does he live? And you were like, because you said WinLogon and you said Explore, but there was this guy in between. So I was like, oh, so I went through and looked at this data and we said, oh, user init is on the Explore side.
Okay.
Okay, so that's kind of interesting. And I said, well, I still don't understand what I'm looking at, the black screen.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm looking for. So I decided to go ahead and look at this phase and I focused there because I figured, okay, user init and Explore, that's the guy I'm troubleshooting at this point.
Right.
So I mouse over and I zoom in and I spent a little bit of time in here. I think I'm showing duration 42 seconds.
42 seconds.
Yeah, so I zoom out. I was just thinking to myself, I'm like, I don't know, how would I start digging in on this to see what was happening? So I went ahead and added the process lifetime to see what else was in here. And I go through and look at the computation, and I would probably focus on precise because I was probably waiting. So I wouldn't want to look at sample, let the profile interrupt, because I really was looking for some kind of a delay behavior. So I would kind of pivot towards precise. So I'd add that in. So adding these three in, I was kind of going to in here and I went down. I was like, well, where is focus on user init? And actually just highlight this phase, and that should give me a graph and stuff loading in that graph. And I slide up and everything starts to come in that progression. You start to see things happening. So there's user init, and he gets his little time frame in there. And I said, well, he may run, and I think he hangs out for a little while waiting for Explorer to get going. So I was like, eh, he's probably not going in there anywhere. So I went and looked for Explorer. Here we go. Explore. I was like, look at the User init and Explorer were almost side by side, meaning we transitioned Explorer, it was user init Explorer.
Right away.
Yeah. I was like, so let's just, I immediately just completely discarded user init as a problem.
Yeah.
So I decided to go look at Explorer and go find out what he's waiting on. So I came down to the CPU precise, I slide down in the list to find our Explorer guy. If you catch him, you have to stop me. It's almost like a game show.
I didn't quite spot it. I saw some interesting stuff.
Yeah. LSM, service host, MSRM, yep. And actually, I could probably just be really smart and zoom to selection, which will drop a ton of these processes, and I won't have to look at everybody. And then if you maximize any of these graphs using this maximize screen, you end up with these tabs to flip back and forth across them. And I highlighted that. Now, as we've seen in previous demonstrations, well, you could dig in to wait times and analysis.
Sure.
And I can tell you there was a cul-de-sac of time that I spent doing that exact task.
Sure.
You know, digging in, saying, what is Explorer doing in this phase?
Mm-hmm.
And there's this very subtle, if you highlight any of these processes, you'll notice this graph will have varying levels of, let's say, blueness,
blue,
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you were like, it's almost giving you the intensity meter mm-hmm. of how much CPU time you had. And I came back, I probably looked at this data 3 or 4 times, and I found that the intensity meter, the first run, didn't show. For why do I have this blank spot for from the time that he started here? Because we zoomed in,
sure.
Isolated,
yeah.
And I was like,
right.
You're telling me that Explore the sandbox existed, this process, this container
was created,
but no threads got to run for this few seconds up front.
Yeah.
Now let's just say up front there was about 50 different problems we were troubleshooting on these machines,
mm-hmm.
so we had a cascade of problems.
Mm-hmm.
So we were just, let's try to knock off 10 seconds here, 20 seconds there, and try to figure out what's going on in this time frame.
Mm-hmm.
So I was looking at that duration, I'm thinking,
it's
weird.
10 seconds before something really happens.
And so you unzoom here, and I was just saying, okay, let me just start by putting my mouse near that blue line and dragging, and I get this mouse over, I hold on to it, and it says, okay, the time that I spent in that window was 8.84.
Right.
I said, I got a 10 second gap,
yeah.
And I'm trying to figure out what happened in that 10 second gap. And so I'm like, the sandbox exists, but no threads.
Mm-hmm.
The sandbox is there, but I don't have threads. So in my mind, I was like, it's like we're building the room, but nobody's home yet. I'm not sure what's happening.
Started up the process, maybe we're...
Yeah, but there's no execution.
Loading.
So I decided just to stop thinking about Explorer and just go, let me just take 10 steps back and punt and go back to user init.
Mm-hmm.
So I backed up. Let's go back up to user init. And hopefully he's not above. Okay, so there we go. User init. And I'm going to add a column here. And we'll say new thread stack and ready thread stack. So those two columns are going to be essentially the thread I was running in,
mm-hmm.
new thread stack. And then if I went into a wait, let's say I waited on some object, I waited for an event to get set, I waited, for whatever reason I went into a wait,
mm-hmm.
somebody came along and said, hey, it's time for you to, let's get going again.
Mm-hmm.
So that readying thread will be the other guy.
Right.
So I was like, let me go look, inspect user init, and I should find one of these launching Explorer.
Sure, yeah.
Right? I mean, you're like, someone called create process in here.
His job, sure.
So I expand this out, and I go through, and I look for, oh, there's user init win main, and I see some kind of stuff, and I see
start the shell.
That sounds promising. I'm waiting for the shell to run, and I see a create process call. I don't get to see the parameters. This is one of the downsides to looking at XPerf data as opposed to dumps,
yeah.
that you get to see a recording of every API, but you're like, I can just assume what happened here. So let's just say that I'm hand waving and making the assumption that parent child, he didn't go into this code more a lot, so let's say he did have one child, let's go after that guy. So he did a create process, and I keep digging down, I'm like, okay, what happened in create process? And
it's like he's, oh, look at that.
Yes. So in this one, in the start the shell path, create process, it came all the way down and we went into a couple of different drivers that we don't have symbols for. Mm-hmm. We did some investigation and that turned out to be one of the antivirus slash security suites.
Sure.
And we looked at that and then we see he calls into read file.
Mm-hmm.
And then he comes out and gets stuck waiting on NTFS. Mm-hmm. So what we then do is we thinking, okay, if I had to spend any time waiting on the disk, I wonder if I'm just having overarching disk problems.
Right.
So it's interesting because when you think about a log on hang, there are this cascade of weight chains and all these things we can come through. Mm-hmm. And so we could dig in into the storage stack and try to figure out, okay, at this time, what was going on in storage? And even before I add this guy to the view, the storage is pegged.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
So we have limited time. I can dig in further on this storage stack and we can look at the time we spent doing. But if you just stopped and said, look at how the IO is getting crushed at the time,
yeah,
you start to understand
that disk is
the disk is getting killed.
Yeah.
In fact, if you took XPerf even further, we could break into IO time, mm-hmm, and say, okay, IO time means the time from the time I asked the OS to do the write till the time it completed. And then we can even say, okay, let's break that down even further. What about the disk service time? We take disk service time and you're like, well, that's actually the time the disk took to do the work.
Right.
And then there's this line between the time the request, so you end up saying, okay, please write this data or read this data. So you go in there and say, okay, I'm in line. And you feel like you're standing outside of a concert and you're like, well, I'm ready to watch. Yeah. I'm ready to get in there and get this work done. So we get a couple of snapshots in WPA, XPerf slip, go through and say, hey, this is how long the line was when I started. And so we went through that list and we were, mm-hmm, finding double, triple digit numbers, wow, of IO waiting around.
Wow.
We even cascade that out. We just found that they had unbelievable quantities of process launch, disk reads, just all over the place, their log-on scripts. And so if we go zoom back out, disk problem,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
all the way back to the symptom, and you look, mm-hmm, at it and say, what black screen at boot? I'm still not there.
Yeah.
So it turns out that the interruption here allowed us to see the color behind the wallpaper. So
sure, yeah,
when logon starts to transition you to desktop, mm-hmm, he essentially kind of says, well, I'm not ready. I haven't done everything I need to do, but I need to transition control. So let me go figure out what color background you have. Mm-hmm. I don't know what your wallpaper is yet. Explorer will go figure this out.
Mm-hmm.
So I slapped that black background because it's the one behind your wallpaper. We actually tested this with the customer. Mm-hmm. We went to solid color backgrounds. Change. We changed to orange. I'm like, look, you're stuck at an orange screen now.
Yeah.
And so that confusion about the mysterious black screen.
You're thinking, is my monitor dead?
Yeah, what has happened?
Yeah.
I'm off in the weeds, and it turns, yeah, out you're looking at the background, yeah, behind the wallpaper.
Right.
And so what happens is you had to get Explorer running. And then there's actually an event that's one of the logon events that'll say switch to desktop.
Yep.
And the whole point of that is to say get the whole experience ready. Taskbar, start menu, clock.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure we don't do anything that makes it kind of build because you don't want to ever see that as the user.
Yeah.
You'd hate to have like it show up in chunks.
Yeah.
So they get it all ready. They, yeah, read the wallpaper and that happens usually so fast.
Yeah.
That you just never experience this black screen.
Yeah, I know they added some code at some point to kind of do a really nice like fade out, fade in.
Yeah.
Gamma fade thing so that you don't, because in the old days you used to see like your icons on the desktop would paint one at a time.
One at a time.
So now we wait until all that's
done. Let's get it all ready.
And then we paint it.
And
so that was where the delay was waiting for all that stuff to, well, waiting for Explorer.
Waiting for Explorer to get disk stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we were in the process of trying to read Explorer off the disk or get stuff ready, or try to create process.
Mm-hmm.
The solutions, they actually ended up having two antivirus solutions on the box. Uh-huh. One doing, let's say, security software because they weren't overlapping in what they were mission statement.
Mm-hmm.
So this one was doing host intrusion. This one was doing, I want to scan stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it essentially, if you establish security guard, mm-hmm, at every door,
mm-hmm,
and then you do it again, regardless of what their mission is, there's a stop and there is a cost along the way for everything you add to it.
I believe even with the disk providers, if this was like a spinning disk rather than an SSD,
which it was,
you can go in with the and drill into the disk providers and see like the head movement on the disk.
It's amazing to show that to a customer. We get an executive call, and I said, "Do you see these gray lines? Those are all really bad. That's us connecting the dots and saying we're going between this data at this offset all the way over to this data." I said,
"You'd be able
the
to
time
see
in the gray." Is the time you were sitting there complaining.
You're sitting there waiting for the little servo motor in your disk
Absolutely.
Drive.
Absolutely. So this is all fixed by bigger magnets or less moving parts.
SSDs.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Now, so it ended up coming down to the security software. Was it logon scripts adding extra
So in this one, it was purely, if we did this over and over again, we could find this problem manifesting an unbelievable quantity of weird little symptoms along the way. The experience the user saw, I don't know, I'm just stuck.
It's just slow log.
Yeah, but if you kept doing this analysis, so we accounted for 10 seconds, they were having anywhere between 70 and 120 seconds.
Interesting.
And so we go, well, and it wasn't, there was no silver bullet in this case. Right. So we knocked out 10 seconds. We said, okay, let's just uninstall this, not as a solution, but just to make sure that we're right in our analysis, let them cook on that, and then we would go through and talk about these other things, and limiting the number of processes, delayed service starts, trying to get things that are not blocking or disk intensive to be done during the boot procedure.
Yeah, I know there's been a lot of work done over the years with the OEMs on my team to minimize boot times and that sort of
Absolutely.
Thing. And a lot of it has to comes down to these drivers and software that's installed that has to start up and minimizing that. But then when you get into an IT environment where a customer has their enterprise image, then it's a whole new ballgame. You got to look at all that stuff again.
Correct. In fact, they flattened it out and they got all the performance. They like to restart over.
Yeah. So
the OEM hands them a fairly fast machine and they're like, that's all gone now.
Yeah, we just put our corporate image on it and now it takes 2 minutes to boot.
Yeah.
Right. Great. Well, that's
very cool.
Very cool. Thank you very much,
Not
Jason.
At all. It was a great time.
Thanks for coming in and showing us that. That's our show. As always, if you have questions or comments, put them in the show notes. Email us, defragtools@microsoft.com, and we'll see you next week. Thanks for watching.
Thanks.